Welcome to the Abbotsford Today podcast. Today we're going to talk about property taxes. And I know what you're thinking, man, is that ever boring. But it's really not. It is something that affects every single person in this town, homeowner, renter, and even visitor. We're going to dig into the details. Join us. Well, hello everybody out there. Yes, we are talking about property taxes today, and you know, I'd like to kind of start at my introduction where I mentioned that you all might find property taxes boring. They are if you think that they are inevitable. Every year it seems we have a 2 or 3% property tax increase. And generally, I think people are resigned to that fact, but I also believe that that's what politicians rely on year in and year out. If they raise property taxes just slightly above the rate of inflation, then maybe we won't notice, and we certainly won't kick up a fuss. But when you start to look at the numbers like I laid out in my article in our preview issue, you'll see that those 2 and 3% add up over time until you're paying many hundreds of dollars more each and every year relative to our neighbors. And I do call into question whether or not we even need that money. And so I want to talk today about a couple of different aspects of property taxes. One is the justification for them. And the second is how we can all work together to inspire our politicians to not continually raise our property taxes. So a good place to start there is to talk about the fact that property taxes are what is referred to as a regressive tax. And what that means is that it's not means tested at all. So you are charged this tax based purely on the value of your home. It has nothing to do with your ability to pay that tax, your income, your wealth, anything. So some of the hardest hit with property taxes among us are our senior citizens who bought their houses 30, 40, 50 years ago, paid their property taxes, paid off their mortgage, and over the last 20 years have seen this immense boom in their property values and their corresponding property taxes. Now, many would say, quite erroneously in my opinion, that their increase in value offsets their property taxes. But I have to say that that's quite illogical because you only realize value in your home when you sell it. So if you're a senior citizen who is unlikely to sell your home, all you are doing is being punished for owning that home and buying it years ago and paying it off. You're being punished by paying ever-increasing property taxes. And really, let's look at that one group for just a second. They likely don't have children in school anymore, so their contribution to the local schools is reduced. They will use recreational facilities to a lesser extent than younger families and younger individuals. And so what are we left with? We're left with property taxes that they're not getting the services back for. And in fact, the services that they are paying for through their property taxes have truly been bought and paid for with the 30 or 40 years of homeownership that they went through in their younger life. So it's a regressive tax. We don't means test, and we really should. You know, as a general statement, I do believe that our entire property tax or municipal tax system needs an overhaul. The only way it's sustainable, particularly with these increased property values just going through the roof with no end in sight, is to begin to find a way to means test on our property taxes. Or at least, I think we may not even call them property taxes in the future. I think that it's quite possible that we will have a secondary form of income tax, something that we can actually look at people's ability to pay. So now, having said that, let's now take a sidestep and look at another group, and that's businesses. Now, I have an opinion here that is a bit at odds with our local Chamber of Commerce, but it only seems like that in the beginning. So let me tell you a little bit about it. You, I'm sure, will read in the local newspaper that quite often the Abbotsford Chamber of Commerce complains about the ratio of business tax to residential property tax. And that often comes in at a ratio of about 3-1. So on the value of a business, who owns a building here in town, they're paying about 3 times that of a residential property owner. Now that is significant, no matter how you cut it. There's a lot we could talk about there. We could go very deep into what kind of services businesses use as opposed to people that live in a single family residence. But what I really want to talk about is the fact that that ratio is low. It is one of the few things that the city of Abbotsford does properly, and that is the ratio of business tax to property, to residential property tax, is very low. 2.9-1, 3-1, something like that. Now, we have neighbors that are as much as 5, 6, and 7-1 in some cases. What makes it really sting for a business in Abbotsford is that that 3-1 is 3 times an extremely high residential property tax. So if you look at the tables that are in my recent article in our preview issue, and they also appear online, by the way, so you probably came to this podcast by visiting abbotsfordtoday.ca, but if you're listening to it on some other medium, then please visit abbotsfordtoday.ca to see all of our latest stories. So I put some tables into my my latest column, and it shows quite clearly that Abbotsford pays hundreds of dollars a year, whether you're talking about an average home or a representative home. It doesn't matter how you cut it. It's 20-30% or more over our neighbors. So now when you add in that multiplier effect where you're multiplying that difference by 3 times and levying that tax against your business owners, they have every right to be upset. I have some advice for them, though. I think they're fighting the wrong fight. Business owners tend to fight the singular fight of lowering business taxes. What they really need to start doing is calling up city councilors and lobbying for them to lower taxes overall. As residential property taxes stop increasing or go down, then business taxes and their multiplier effect, that 3-1, will go down as well. So that's something that I'd really like to see our business community get behind and also do the math for themselves. As I did with residential a residential property in my recent column, I think business owners would be well served if they were to take some representative businesses, some average business property values, compare them to other cities, and realize that that ratio is A, low, but B, is a net tax that is very, very high because residential property tax is very, very high. Separating those two things actually does anyone that is interested in lowering taxes in our town, it does them a disservice. It doesn't send the right message to our politicians. The message that we need to give them is that we don't want property taxes to be increased anymore. Now, I know where the need for more revenue comes from, but this is something that I really have a hard time dealing with. As you all know, listening to this, over the years, federal and provincial governments have been downloading costs and expenses to municipalities. That isn't fair, but there's only really a couple of ways that municipalities can generate more revenue, and one is by increasing property taxes. So our increase in taxes was inevitable. As the province and the feds give us more stuff to pay for, we've got to find a way to pay for it. Municipalities raise their property taxes. However, I don't like the fact that BC Assessment, which is a provincial entity, is in charge of assessing the values of properties throughout the province. It really feels like a conflict of interest for the provincial government to say, hey, municipalities, you need to bear more of the load in costs in your city, and But you know what? When it comes to assessing the property values, we don't have anything to do with that. Now, we all know that they do. And I have a suspicion that those things work really hand in hand. Isn't it amazing over the last 20 years how property values have jumped like they've never jumped in our history? And at the same time, municipalities are being asked to pay more for more things than they ever had in our history. And you know, growth has not been the big jump that everybody thinks, not by comparison. I have a statistic that people are always shocked when I tell them this, but in the 1990s, under the NDP government, our economy grew by 3% for the decade that they were in power. When the Liberals took over at the end of the 90s, in the subsequent decade, our economy grew by only 2%. So that insight into the difference in economic growth is reflected in population growth, land value increases. They are all tied together. So people were coming to British Columbia at the same rate or very close to the same rate in the 90s as they are now. But we have these property values that are just going ballistic. And you know, folks, this is a topic for another podcast, but I really don't think it has anything to do with foreign investment, with Chinese money or money from elsewhere in the world. I don't think it has anything to do with money laundering. I think all of those things are distractions so that all three levels of our government can simply just charge us higher and higher taxes. So let's go full circle. I mentioned that there were two things I wanted to talk about. The one was the local businesses in town and how they approach tax. And the second is how people in town approach property taxes. Yes, it's boring. Yes, we think it's inevitable. But that doesn't mean that we can't complain about it. Ladies and gentlemen, every time property taxes go up, a local politician says, oh, it's only $20 more a year. It's only $50 more a year. It's only $60 more a year. It always sounds small. But I want to take you back to a story that happened to me in 2008. A gentleman came to me one day, and it was shortly after I had stood up to say my piece against Plan A. And this gentleman said to me, he asked me if I would listen to him about the problems he was having in paying his rent. And I said, sure. Well, what's your story? And he said, well, none of the local city councilors want to hear me, but because of the Plan A property tax increase, my rent went up $50 a month. This gentleman said to me, and he said, $50 a month might not seem like much to a city councilor, but to me, it's almost every other penny that I had. And he said to me, before my rent went up $50 a month, I was already eating dog food out of a can. And if it goes up $50 more a month, I will be homeless. So he asked me if there was something that I could do. Now, for those of you that haven't been around Abbotsford for very long, what I did is I started the Abbotsford Ratepayers Association. And it had just the kind of effect that you would expect in town. It had none. Politicians don't really listen to groups like that. We had a couple of hundred members and we had lots to say. The only thing that politicians listen to are votes. And I would like to ask all of you out there that below this podcast on our website at abbotsfordtoday.ca, you will see the ability to leave your comments. And this is what I want to know from you voters out there. I want to know why you keep voting for politicians that keep increasing your property taxes and then they never tell you why. So here's one of their defenses. They talk about the municipal price index. Now, you might have heard about the consumer price index, and this is the underlying cost of things that you and I buy that increase our cost of living. So these are the things that when people talk about cost of living, this index is what is used to say, well, it's also tied into the rate of inflation. The rate of inflation may go up 1 or 2%, 3%, and the consumer price index is the guidebook for how much those things might go up. Well, about 15 years ago, that wasn't good enough for municipalities. They needed a better excuse. So the city of Edmonton, I believe, and I'm going to look this up for a future column, but the city of Edmonton said, you know what, we deserve to have something like a municipal price index because we don't buy the same things as people in their homes. Well, it sounds logical, except the underlying data was flawed. So municipalities all across Canada now use the municipal price index as a justification for raising property taxes. However, the number that they attach to that index is always completely made up. It's whatever they feel like. That number is based on things like, hey, you know, we've got to buy gravel and tarmac, and we've got to buy things that, you know, that regular people don't need to buy. The problem is, if you start doing your research, which nobody does, unfortunately, I've got too much time on my hand and I've gone and looked at this. If you look at the 15 years the Municipal Price Index has been the guidebook for municipalities, many of those things they talk about as justification for raising property taxes have either not gone up in price or in some cases gone down. In fact, one of the most fluid things that has quite often gone down is things like gravel and tarmac and blacktop and all those things that cities buy that they felt like they needed to justify as a separate expense from a homeowner who buys groceries. So the municipal price index is by many economists has been debunked as a completely false and made up number, and yet municipalities use it often as a way to justify those property tax increases. The second, of course, is that they've got some projects in mind and they want to pay for them. The problem with that is that that's not really lawful. The Local Government Act and the Community Charter effectively say that you can't go into debt without the consent of the electors. So you might all remember that we voted in a referendum to borrow $85 million to build the Abbotsford Centre, the Reach Gallery, and the ARC expansion. And we had to do that because we were going to go into debt. And so the City Council needed everyone's consent. However, when they build up a surplus and then go out and spend that money on that project anyway, in effect, they're making an end run around the law. Cities aren't really allowed to build up a surplus. In fact, there are some funds where it is illegal for them to build up a surplus. For example, in our water fund, the operational water fund, the city is only supposed to collect as much money as it takes to operate the system. And yet, last year, they had accumulated a $40 million surplus in our water operational fund. And that was because, despite promises by both the mayor and many councillors during the last election, in the 2011 election, water rates have increased twice, and no one's even told you about it. And all that extra money has not been needed for the operations of the system. It's gone into a surplus. Now, that surplus is actually, there's a valid reason why the surplus is being built up, and that is because money was borrowed from it in order to pay for the Plan A overruns. Yes, we're still paying for that. We've got $50, $60 million left still to pay for the Abbotsford Centre. So money gets shuffled around, and that's all a way of hiding it so that and using money in a surplus from one account and using it in another area within the city, and they shuffle money around and they can get away with that for a little while. But they can't get away with it forever because eventually it runs into interest and that gets classified as debt. And when the city wants to go into debt, they need your consent. So since those funds like water funds and DCC funds, and we'll talk about this in another podcast, you can only shuffle money around so much. Our current mayor and council have gone straight to the source, and they've just simply overcharged you to the tune of $160 million on your property taxes over the last 4 years. Now they can do whatever they want with that money. And during the last election campaign, The mayor particularly was asked repeatedly, what is the surplus for? And he refused to say. He had no idea. He talked maybe about needing it for a water source and maybe about using it for recreational facilities, but not in any plan. There's no plans for any of those things. So that's just a snapshot of the last 4 years. When you look at our property taxes going back 15 and 20 years, and you start to add up all the things that we probably shouldn't have spent money on, and certainly you would not have chosen to do that. I think very few of you would have chosen to spend money on the Friendship Garden and spend $50 million in cost overruns on the Abbotsford Center and quadruple the price of the Whatcom Road project. I mean, it really does go on and on and on. You can see that with responsible spending, that property taxes could be as much as half of what they are right now. And that's my estimate based on the fact that I've done a lot of math. And you can do the math too. I think that's where it becomes very boring for you. But if you take a look at the article that I've written and the numbers that are in there, there is some logical extensions. And you can add up the money that we've spent impractically, and you can subtract that from the property taxes that we've been levied over the years, and you come out with quite a different number. I think most homeowners in town would have a big change in their outlook and their view on property ownership in Abbotsford if their property taxes were half of what they are every year. In addition to that, of course, lower property taxes would inspire investment and development, something that we are not very good at. We lag way behind our neighbors in terms of development. You know, I'll give you a quick example. In 2017, I think it was, we did $500 million in building permit values. The city of Kelowna did 730 in that same time. Our neighbor just to the east, Chilliwack, a city a lot smaller than us by 30%, did the same number as us. They did the same building permit values, and they're a 30% smaller town than us and farther away from where you believe investment might come from. And that is, you know, the Vancouver core or from around North America. So all of these things do hang together, and they boil down to a simple equation that when you don't have a plan, when you have ego projects, and when you don't look at property taxes as something that you can stop levying against your citizens, then they just continue to build and build and build, and everybody suffers. This isn't systemic. This isn't systemic in every community in the Lower Mainland. Other communities are really fighting hard against raising property taxes. For example, Pitt Meadows has reduced their heavy industrial property tax to zero. So it can be done, folks. And watch for our first issue, where we'll be talking to former Mayor Bruce Bownman, who was reelected to City Council just last year. And we're going to talk to him about a lot of stuff. But one of the questions I'm going to be asking him, he is the only mayor to have delivered a 0% property tax increase to the citizens of Abbotsford. And I'm going to ask him about that. And we're going to talk about projects around town and how they're getting done and what his vision for Abbotsford is. So join us for our next podcast. Sign up online and follow us on Twitter to receive notice of that. And you'll also read all about that podcast in our upcoming print edition, which will be delivered to your mailbox in the next couple of weeks. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.